you cannot train to become a tier one operator. You're born to do it. You have to have this certain mindset, physicality, everything to be able to do it. No one, I completely deny if someone said, you know what, I'm super fit, super motivated, I'm going to get into the SES. Maybe you will, but if you will, if you do, that means you always could have got in it. So you had that set up. There's some people who, no matter how hard they try, no matter what they do, no matter how qualified they are, no matter how good people think they are, they just can't do it. You're born to be in the SES. If you want to do it, you train, you work hard. And then when it comes to selection or being selected is, you have to be really, really fit to get into pass selection. But that's not enough. It's just a tiny bit of it. But you also got to be really robust, not just physically, but mentally robust. Because that's the other thing. It's just like the daunting thought of what's ahead of you, which create these monsters that don't exist. And the monster eats them all up. And then when they face it, they either defeat it or, you know, like say, go home. They want to be in the SES. They want to be able to tell all their family, friends, swag around, I'm SES. They don't really want to pay the price for it. It all comes down to if you had to do it and you don't have to do it. And that's what makes selection hard, is that you don't have to do it.
In this episode, we fly out to Texas to meet with Christian Craighead, SAS legend. Today's episode, as always, was made possible by our sponsors, Huel. Find out more with the link down below.
And if they had to, if you held a gun to the head and say, if you don't walk there now in 4 kilometers an hour, I'm going to kill your family. I bet they'd be able to do it. It's going to untapping that resource. But you've got to be, and that's the trick of selection, is you've got to be able to do it. You've got to want to do it. And if you don't want it, you're not going to get it. Everything has a price. They don't want the bits in between, the hard, the work. Whatever job that is, whatever role it is absolutely right. So you want to go in the SES. There's always exceptions, but as a general rule, if you're going to go in the SES, whatever unit you're from, whether it be infantry, support arms, whatever, typically the guy going for SES selection is the fittest, the strongest, the keenest, the one who excels in everything, who gets good reports all the time and is like golden balls. That's the common thing, and that's great. So you go on selection, you work extremely hard, you pass this course, which just has such a high failure rate, and now you're in the SES. But here's the thing, something you didn't think about and no one tells anyone, is you've now joined a unit where every single member is that guy, where you were the top of your 30 guys in your platoon. Now you're in a squadron or regiment where every single man was that guy. It's good to be around people who are of similar mind. If you're in a combat unit, and it doesn't matter if it's Tier 1 Special Forces or combat, I think it splits into categories as well. Because one thing I think I saw a lot, and as much as my theory, you have sheepdogs and wolves. You're all working to the same goal, so you've all got a common aim. Some of the people around you are sheepdogs. They can produce the goods if they have to, and they're there and they're selected, and that's why they're there. But there's some people around you who are wolves, who have been trained into sheepdogs, and they're the different people. A lot of parachute regiment soldiers in the SAS are wolves. Wolves turn into sheepdogs. But it's like that in lots of different units. I'm not just talking about the SAS, I'm talking about lots of high-performing units, and people will know what I'm talking about. Some people are different. I think the wolves are the ones that will do things when they need to be done, without orders, off their own back, and with total aggression and commitment. And the sheepdogs will do it if they have to, but won't do it unless the shepherd tells them to do it. You make your own fear. You make it. Fear to me is completely self-generated and can be defeated and can be beaten. Sometimes when it's because it's necessary and you have no option. But to think, if you can harness that, if you can rip that skill, so if people can learn how to tap into that and go, do you know what? I'm just gonna do it. Don't want to do it, but I've got to. Let's go. This day I got shot in the arm in Afghanistan, and took the bullet arm. Was pretty nasty injury. My arm was hanging by its tricep. Luckily, I couldn't get to it. It was a lesson learned. I couldn't get to a tourniquet, so I didn't put one on. An officer later on, not long after, got shot when I was put into his vehicle, said, oh, should I put a tourniquet on there? And I was like, no, don't. If I needed it, I would have bled out by now. And then eventually the doctor at the patrol base, she sorted me out. She did a brilliant job. And then they got me airlifted. They did like surgery on it, to investigative surgery. And when I came out, the doctor or the surgeon was there and he said, good job you didn't put a tourniquet on, because if you put a tourniquet on, you definitely would have lost your arm. We can't make the decision whether to amputate your arm or not. Well, when you get to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, they'll make the call whether you're going to lose your arm or not. So I didn't know if I was going to lose my right arm. And then got there, and then they did the surgery again. Bit of luck came in again, and was discharged from hospital. And then it was 9 months of recovery. And this is the thing, what I've said is like, yeah, it was, you know, getting shot's one thing, and it's pretty nasty, especially if it goes through a bone. It's kind of horrific, but it's a good, like I've said it before, it's a good feeling. It's like if you're like one of these people who want to get amongst it, kind of getting shot and surviving and not having any permanent disability is kind of like a cool thing. It's like, oh, I've been shot. It's like getting the SAS. Like, I've been shot. I've actually been shot. And so it's kind of cool, but not cool at the same time. Get shot. Hurts like hell. Pretty angry about it. And do I want to potentially get shot again? Do I want to, like, step into the line of fire? Right, I do. Even more so. So get this arm fixed. 9 months later, I got signed off. Got signed off on the Friday or whatever day it was. Yet you're now fit. 2 weeks later, back in Afghanistan, ready to take the fight back to the enemy. And one of the things that's interesting to see is when I was in the Queen Elizabeth and some guys who were really badly injured, the common thing with the British soldier that I saw, British soldiers there who lost both, much worse condition than me, lost both the legs and an arm, triple amputee, was it. What's the first thing they say when you talk to them? I just want to get back out there. I just want to get back into the fight. Some people clearly don't. And I think, and I've heard some sort of theories that if you get injured, that your brain releases some sort of hormone that actually fixes that issue. So makes you want to go back in it, because it's the most common thing I've heard with anyone who's been badly injured, especially amputees. The common thing they say is, I just want to get back into the fight. Life gives and takes. Sometimes what might seem like a curse is a gift. And then other times what seems like a gift is a curse. And it's hard to work that out. And sometimes we're fortunate to get given things in life to then be able to reflect on it and work it out. But most of us live our lives without realizing what was the gift and what was the curse. Whatever that mindset is, if it's like the hero mindset or the give no shits or don't tolerate bullies, all these things, or there's a natural foundation that you're born with, and then things are built around it. Like we're saying, the training starts from when you're born, and events will then shape it. And I think that like, if you want to call it like a warrior mindset, is people are, you could argue that everyone's born with it and it's just repressed, and then events in life will shape, whether it be your parents or events that you suffer in life or deal with, whether it be good events or bad events, shape how this warrior inside you grows. And then some people are like, it comes out naturally, it's meant to be out there. And other people, it takes some things. And then a lot of people, it doesn't come out ever, because it never had to. I don't mean like a special forces warrior or a UFC fighter or... It's just day-to-day life, that warrior sort of instinct, that stepping up, saying the right thing when something needs to be said, disagreeing with someone, saving someone, picking something up, anything. It can be anything. It's some people it doesn't exist. Some people it doesn't take anything to come out. They've had a great life and everything, but they're still natural warriors. And other people make a conscious effort to try and enhance that and rip that out of themselves. I think there's athletes and fighters. And it's like the difference is, you know, when there's probably people who are athletes and they'll fight in the octagon and wouldn't dare fight outside it. And there's others who will have a fight no matter what, because that's what they live for and that's what drives them. And there's other, and then, so it's that, I think it would, like I said earlier, it exists in every occupation, every sport, everything is different types of people. And normally, to make it very basic, is there's the two things. People say you're not alone, and you're not alone in your suffering. You might have people who love and support you around you, or colleagues who love and work with you and who want to support you around you, but you are alone in that struggle. You are alone, and I know. It's not my theory. I know this. You are alone, and it's down to you to get better. Now you can get better, and how you get better, that's what you got to do, is like do what works for you. If therapy and talking to the support unit around you get you better, then you do that. If doing physical fitness or shooting or riding your motorbike faster than what you should do is better for you, then do it. If having a couple of beers with your friends lines you up and makes you better, then do it. You know, you just do what you got to do. Firstly, is keep your head. You can't be, if something's going wrong or you've got to plan something, you can't look like you don't know what you're doing or you're panicking, because your leadership abilities or the people willing to follow you will start falling away if you look like you don't know what you're doing or haven't got control of the situation. Then is assess the situation. You've got to see what's going on. You've got to know what's going on with the information that's available for you right then. So that, yeah, information might come out later on, but right now, given the information that you know, you assess the situation. Then you make your plan. However you do that, that's how you do it. But you may lean on people, but you make your plan because you're in charge. And then you execute your plan. If it goes really well and starts changing, then you have to do it again. Keep your head, assess the situation, make a plan and execute it. If it starts going really bad, same thing. Nothing worse if it goes bad and then someone starts panicking, flapping, losing control. You put your plan out there and you keep your head. You assess the situation as it's unfolding in front of you, and you just make a new plan, and then you execute that again. Maybe when you die, you get given this whole replay of like, hey, I tried to help you out loads of times. And you know, when someone said, yeah, how many times something might happen and it was a sign. And sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. Maybe we get them every single day. I think we all have guardian angels and guides, and they're trying the best they can to guide us and leave messages. And sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. And it's the kind of, there's a lot of writings and things about it. If you're on the right path, then you kind of see it. But if you're on the wrong path, and who's to say, you know, we say, some people might say angels and demons. Some people might say guides and disruptors or whatever, where there's people there trying to put you on your right path. And there's also little bastards there trying to pull you off it and put you on the wrong path, and just because that's what they do. I wasn't born Christian Craighead. I mean, I know it's a pseudonym, but I wasn't born that character. I developed it after incidents, and yeah, I got into the SES when I was 30. And the Kenya incident happened when I was 43. So all of that was developing up to that point. This is going out to everyone out there who's 15, 16, 17, 18, 53. Doesn't matter. Life's not over. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on it, because you, like I said, all these like strange routes, and it might seem that everything is going so wrong for you, but actually that's what's supposed to happen. And I know it's kind of patronizing when someone says, oh, everything that's supposed to happen is supposed to happen, and people, it's up to you if you want to believe this or don't believe it, but it's that I think it's shaping, life is shaping, and the things that, and even to the people who say, well, he died and you didn't do anything. When I say about, I was training for that incident all my life, yeah, but what you could also say is everything that my mother did, everything that my grandfather did, everything that their grandfather did and their grandfather did, everything was shaping everything up to that 15th of January. And everything I'm doing it is, and so you don't know, your actions might not be, it's easy to look at a selfish point of view, but your actions might be shaping the, or making the path for your grandchild, for someone else in life. So don't be like, again, it's easy to look about, it's all about me, it's all about us, but we don't know life's too complicated to humanize. And some people say, yeah, you live, you're born, you die. Cool. If you want to believe that. I don't. I think we've all got a role to do in some way, but it's when you feel hopeless, and I've seen too much stuff go on in this world now to make sense of it, and just don't give up on yourself, and just, you've got to go alone, do whatever it takes, and just come back. That's all it means.
If you lead a busy life like me and millions of other people around the world, you might be struggling to get your nutrition in. That's where this stuff comes in, absolutely clutch. If health was easy, everyone would be doing it. But it sure make it that easy. You scoop, you shake, and you go, and you get 26 vitamins and minerals, and every single ingredient inside this and all of Huel's other products has been expertly tested by their team to make sure you're getting exactly what you need. And if I'm really in a pinch for time, I'll grab their ready to drink, which has 35 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, and tastes delicious. Don't just take my word for it though. People like Idris Elba, Diver CEO Stephen Bartlett, and Hardest Geezer, who ran the entire length of Africa, use this as part of their daily routine. So if you want to find out more, go to the link down below. You can get exclusive offers, like if you sign up to their subscription service, you get 10% off all future orders. And if it's your first time ordering, you get a free shaker and t-shirt. It's also now available in major retailers in the UK and the US. What are you waiting for? Go get it.
The new year is approaching, and as always, Mulligan Brothers is doing its 2025 sale. So if you put the code in on the website, you can get buy one, get one free across the whole range, including the Not A Journal and the Memento Mori poster, an interactive poster that you fill in every single week, and it shows you how much life you've lived and potentially how much you've got left. Then somewhere along there is a square that will be my last square. It might have even been the square that I filled in last week, and I promise you, that fills you with the most motivation to make your life mean something and live with purpose. And the Not A Journal is a journal for just getting stuff done. I know so many of you have loved it, and that's why we've included it in the buy one, get one free with the link below. While stocks last, once all the journals are gone, that is it, guys. As always, each year we do sell out, so make sure you get your orders in very quick. By purchasing something from the website, you're helping support us going into 2025 to be able to make even more incredible documentaries.